You guys, lots going on in the world today. I took a little retreat up to Asilomar with the Vedanta Society. So I just want to tell you a little bit about that because it was really, really fun and interesting. Asilomar, we used to have CSL. Do they still have CSL retreats up there? Oh, right. So I don't know. This was only our second annual one, and it was so good to be around like-minded people, and it just it reminded me that here's people coming by plane, by train, by automobile from all over the country, all over the world. There was one guy who that flew in from India to come to see a Swami from India in California. But it's like this was his opportunity to see him and be in person with him. And just having that experience of being in community, being in Sangha, with like-minded people is such a gift. There's really nothing like it. I mean, I love that people are out on Facebook. Fantastic. But you know what? If you have a chance to come in through this door and join us, it's a whole new experience. Takes it to another level. It's just amazing. So I appreciate everyone being here, and I got a lot out of the experience of the retreat. We had Homa fires, which is amazing. If you've ever been to one of those, they do. It's like a fire ceremony where you do like offerings to the goddess with fruit and flowers and candy, it was sometimes a sari or all kinds of stuff. But basically we were right by the ocean, so we had like this visualization of the goddess coming from the ocean and coming into the fire and then going out of the fire and going back to the ocean. And it was just really, really beautiful. And one of our nuns from Ridgely did the whole thing. It's just mesmerizing. It's just so cool and beautiful, and the traditions behind it and everything. And we all participated, and there were people from all over the world, and people of all ages and people of all faiths, and it was so cool. So what I got out of it the most is that we had this one panel. A lot of times the swamis were just speaking about what was the theme? It was from darkness to light, how we wake up in this world and things like that. So we had this one panel though that I was on, and it was like one representative from each generation asking questions to the swamis, which were also from several different generations. I don't know, they weren't too many young ones because it takes a long time to get to be swami level, right? But we had a Gen Z girl who's like 22 or something. Then we had a millennial, and then we had Gen X, and then we had me representing Gen Jones, right? And then we had the boomer person. And what's interesting is that we all have the same issues. They're expressed differently because through a different lens, through the lens of our age and the lens of our generation and the lens of the society during the time in which we grow up, it can change and adapt. But we're all connected, and we all come at a certain point in our life to recognize the divinity within, to understand what's important. And that can happen at any age, at any time. For some of us, it takes a long time, and we don't get it until we're older and we have time to come to church. But for some of these kids who were there, they're like so awake and so on it and so into it. It was beautiful. It was really beautiful. So I love that we all came together. And I saw it as an opportunity to build bridges between the generations rather than boundaries. Because I think at this time in our society, the generation gaps are very large. Because society and technology has moved so quickly, things are completely different for the younger generation than it was for the boomers, you know, who didn't have remotes on the TV, had to get up and change the channel, right? A TV was a big deal. And then these Gen Z has it right in the palm of their hand, can do whatever they want, whenever they want in less than a second, right? So there is this kind of disconnect and a seeming divide. But when we connect at the heart level, then we understand there's no distance at all. It's the same heart. And I like to say it's the same I. When I say, I'm going through this experience, and Pam says, I'm going through this experience, and a Gen Z person says, I am going through this experience. Think of that I. That I is that light within us that is the same light. So that's how we understand each other, and that's how we relate to each other. So, okay. So basically, we are unbounded. We are free. This is not something we need to strive for. This is something we already are. But how do we wake up to it? How do we open our eyes to it? Because a lot of times when we're in this body, we feel inadequate. We feel like we're not enough, or we feel like we're too much. People can't handle us. We're too much, right? We don't fit in. But we do fit in. We just don't see the whole puzzle that we're in there. We do fit in there, or we wouldn't be here. We fit. So how do we get that confidence? How do we get that knowingness that we belong? Well, the first thing is we don't compare ourselves to other people, because everybody's got their own stuff. Everybody's got their own karma. Everybody's got their own dharma, their own purpose, everything. I mean, if we were comparing our wedding to Jeff Bezos's wedding, for example, I mean, we're going to come up short, right? But no, not really, because what makes a good wedding? What makes a good marriage? It's the love, right? So you can't compare, because love is love is love is love. And next month I'm going to talk more about this, but so much came to mind when I was thinking about love and how love is unbounded. Love is meant to be shared. It starts with love of ourself, but love expresses through our relationships with other people and through our creativity. What we give, what we make, what we share, what we say, what we think, all the creativity, the art we create, the science we discover, what our passion is, what do you love to do? That's where love shows up as unbounded, because it's unique to each one of us. You can't run out of love. You can't run out of creativity. You can say, oh, it's all Shakespeare. How many times have we rewritten Shakespeare's words into different variations? Oh, it's all the same song. Every song is a love song. We keep writing more and more songs. I mean, just check on Spotify how many millions of songs there are. No two are alike. Creativity is unbounded. Creativity is unlimited. We're unbounded by life itself. There are no borders. But where does this bounded feeling come from? That we're limited, that we're small, that we play small, that we can't. It's an internal thing. It comes from us. It's self-inflicted. It's self-inflicted. Just like, you know, I told the story I don't know if you remember, but of how elephants in India are tied by like just a little string to a stick, and they stay within that string and within that stick. They don't go any further. And why is that? Is that they're trained. They start out with a big chain and a big tree, and then the elephant learns, so I can only go so far because I can't pull it, right? But then as time goes on, they make it from a chain to a rope, to a rope to a smaller tree. And by the time it's a little string to a little stick, the elephant's like, I can't. I just can't. So it just stays. And sometimes we're like that. We think we're chained to this little stick, and we should just say, let's go, you know? Let's do this thing that I want to do. If you want to do something, there's a reason why you want to do it. Because you're supposed to do it. That's the divine. You have an idea, the divine's giving you an idea. And you need to move on it. Because the divine wants that thing done. And if you don't move on it, somebody else will. How many times have you had an idea and then, you know, months later you go, oh, wait, I thought of that. It came out on the market. I remember my friend made these, like those little frozen things you put on owies, right? And she said, oh, I always put frozen peas on my kids' owies. So I thought, why not make like little plastic things and put them in a plastic container that you can put in the freezer. So it mimics peas, but you can use it over and over and over and over again. Great idea, right? A few months later, I see it in the stores, brand new thing. Somebody else thought of it and actually did it. Those kind of things happen all the time. So if you're blessed with an idea, you should go for it. Go for it. Don't be the elephant trying to pull the chains up. Our soul is unlimited. Have you guys seen Superman yet? Oh my gosh, this is a great movie. This is a great movie. And we all know the story of Superman, right? But here we are retelling it again for today's times. Because in today's times, it makes sense, and this is how it applies to the story. And I don't want to give anything away, but Superman is a good guy. And you know what? That goodness, that kindness, compassion that he has, that propensity he has to not only save the world, but he even in this movie, and my husband Greg was sitting right next to me, and you know he loves squirrels. Superman, the world is crumbling, a building is falling down, and Superman runs and grabs a squirrel and saves the squirrel. So we're like, that is Superman. That is a good guy, right? And then there comes a time when Superman kind of doubts himself because he gets some information about his past. And he thinks, what am I doing here, right? He's having doubts. We all have doubts. But then he comes to realize that compassion, that kindness that he has, that caring, that wanting to do good, that wanting to better the earth, that is his superpower. Not his strength or his abilities, but the goodness within him is what gives him the strength to keep going and to save the world. And usually, you know, as a writer, you want to see this character arc, you know, and the character changes from being a bad guy to a good guy, or from a good guy to a bad guy, or whatever, right? Superman, all he has this moment of doubt, but he stays a good guy. But what changes? The world around him. Because he is able to influence the world to see how much goodness and compassion matters. It's pretty amazing. So I like it. Okay, so a couple things. I think we've all heard the phrase about outer space is the final frontier. And the guy right now who's the most famous astronomer in the world, Neil deGrasse Tyson, he has said some pretty amazing things. This is my new book. Just came out. Teddy, I should have dedicated these to you because every month when I come here, Teddy's like, how's your new book coming? I'm like, what new book? And then I'm like, I better write a new book. So I did. So this is called Great Minds Think Like This, Timeless Wisdom for Transformation. And what I did is I looked at 102 different thinkers in life. One of them was Neil deGrasse Tyson. One of them was Floris Scovelshin, which we know from Science of Mind, right? One of them was Swami Vivekananda. One of them was Deepak Chopra, who I admire, who I grew up with, right? One of them was Albert Einstein that you talked about today. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. 102 different people from different times in history and throughout cultures. And I thought, okay, if I ask each of them, what are your five pieces of advice for me? What are your five words of wisdom that you want me to know? You know, what would they say? So I did a little research on this. And here's what Neil deGrasse Tyson would say about inner space being our final frontier. Number one, he says, stay curious. Question everything. Why not? This is how we learn. This is how we grow. This is how discoveries are made, by asking those why questions. Why? And when he was a kid, that's exactly what he did. He was always open. He was always curious. So we want to not lose our sense of childlike wonder. When we were little kids, we were always asking why, driving our parents crazy. And then, you know, now that we're parents, we're like, oh, yeah, okay, I understand what my mom was getting, you know, frustrated with me. But that's it. Don't lose your sense of wonder. His second point is make science accessible. Science is an everyday thing, and knowledge should be shared, not hoarded. This is why scientists share their information and their experiments with the world, because if they happen to come up with a cure for some disease, that's not just going to help the people who buy this medicine or the people who live in the country that the scientist lives in. This is meant to help everyone around the world. So science should be accessible. And he says, embrace the unknown. Don't be afraid of what you don't know. Go after it. Pursue it. He says, the universe is under no obligation to make sense to us. He welcomes that mystery. He sees it as an invitation, not a threat. Figure it out. Look into it. Be humble in the face of uncertainty. Nothing is certain in life except uncertainty. And that's by design, I think. Let passion be your guide. Do what you love to do, and then work becomes your joy. And, you know, this is exactly what Neil deGrasse Tyson did. He was always enamored by the stars and the skies. And look at what he's done for us now. And then he says, think cosmically, act locally. Cosmic perspective reminds us of our shared humanity. What affects one of it affects all of us, because we are all that one, right? We are all that one. And you can say, well, I'm not going to be here by then. I'll be long gone by the time they find a cure for that. How do you know? Your soul is eternal. You may come back and need that cure. So, you know, don't count yourself out yet. So I just think he's really... one of the great minds that I wanted to feature in the book. And yeah. So, oh, I know what I was going to say. So I was the other day I was trying to think of a when I was trying to write this talk, instead of the talk, I wrote a poem. I was like, but you got to go with it. You know what I mean? You got to go with the flow. I'm like, okay, I'm writing a talk. I'm writing a poem. No, I can't. What is this? And I'm just like, no, just let it flow. Let it flow. And I thought, okay, I'm meant to read this poem in church. So this is the poem, and this is where we end today. It's called Us. And how do you spell us? U-S. Yes, you are limitless, and yes, you are free. And I can see beyond the divide, deep inside, that we are all free. Not just me, but we. Because there's no US, us, without you and me. This is what is meant to be. So why all the boundaries? Why all the shackles and tensions that blind us? We've crossed the oceans, we've flown the skies, but have we looked in each other's eyes? Have we felt the pain or heard the soft cries of our brothers, our neighbors, our babies, our loves, of our own Mother Earth or from heaven above? There is pain here, no doubt, and we must figure it out. Stand up and shout. Use all our clout to stop it. Now, there are no borders and no lines that constrain. No fences or walls make up the terrain. It's all an illusion to keep us in place, to set up a race, to keep us from facing the truth we're embracing. That there's just one, and every one is that one. We don't need to obey words that keep us at bay. We need to follow our hearts all the way. Do what is right, what is good, what is fair. Let our love guide us. If only we dare break from the sides and fight like we care for our country, our world, and for all people, where and wherever each one may be. This is not a request. It's a call to action. We won't survive in a time that is fractioned. Take up your voices, take up a stance. It's the only way we can advance. It's the only way we stand a chance. Though the times are conflicted, there's no place for violence. But we must speak for those who've been silenced. Keep standing for freedom in thought, deed, and word. Keep speaking for truth until we've been heard. And so it is.